Hey y'all, it's Daniel. Real quick, just wanted to interject. On this episode, I have Casey on for the first time. Really great conversation. I unfortunately forgot to tell her to put headphones on, which is my bad. And so instead of going in and just cutting out where I talk throughout the whole hour and a half or so, I'm just going to use her audio. And so I'm going to sound, you know, a little tinny on her end because it's literally recording her speakers. But that will save me hours of work on this episode. Yay! Thanks for putting up with it. Bye.
I'm sick of all you sycophants, ignorance and miscreants, simpletons and little ants, trying to split their sentience. People peddle pestilence, land pipe on their settlements, and I don't think it was even food for it was excrement. Get your head in it, second wind represent, white shit, kid, I never stepped in it. I reckon it's older than the New Testament, edited shit. It's
well, better hello than- there. Welcome to Techquila. This is a podcast where we do deep dives into topics in the tech industry while diving deep into a bottle of tequila. I'm your host, Daniel Regueira. With me today, I have Mrs. Casey, introduce yourself.
Casey Mendoza. Hi.
How's it going?
Going pretty well. How are you?
Good, good. So this is your first time on the podcast. We were supposed to have Ashley Robinson on of the Pretty Witty podcast, but she literally had a surprise party distract her from us or take her away from us. and I must thank her co-host, who has also been on this podcast, Jaina, for doing that to me. It's okay. I guess Jay gets, you know, preference over me. But yeah, so it's just going to be me and Casey today. We're going to hold it down without Ashley. I'll have Ashley on in the near future. So Ashley, tell everyone about yourself,
and your background. You mean Casey? You said Ashley. That's okay.
Casey, tell us about your background.
Well, I am Casey Mendoza. I am a culture reporter with Newsy. Typically that means I, cover a lot of pop culture, social justice, anything related, anything that's like the intersections of like entertainment and tech or like tech and social justice or like tech and politics. So I recently did, or a year ago, I did a story on music streaming laws. So that is what got me interested in this topic.
Yeah, I had Casey on, or I'm having Casey on now because we had an interaction on Twitter just talking about music streaming in general. And when we were having the interaction, I was like, this would be a good topic for the podcast. So here we are. So yeah, let's just dive right into it. The thing that Casey and I were talking about when we interacted was, how artists are paid through different streaming services. What I didn't know is that one, Napster still existed and that two, they are the best for payout to artists, right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is according to a report Digital Music News did. Napster, which I was also surprised still existed, compared to like Spotify, it pays like 5 cents to Spotify's 1 cent for like every couple hundred streams or every couple streams.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
I didn't know Napster even existed. So how long have you or did you use Napster?
I want to say it was a little less than a month. It was right after I had finished testing Tidal. I was trying a bunch of different music streaming services beyond Spotify. So Napster, I just tried out for a little less than a month with their free trial. Also, did not know it existed. It's apparently also what Rhapsody used to be. So technically, Rhapsody still exists in some form.
Napster bought them out or the other way around?
I think it was Rhapsody bought Napster. Although gotcha. I'm not entirely sure.
Can we talk about the irony of the fact that Napster is the best paying on this list considering their origins of illegally downloading music?
Right? That's insane.
It's fucking funny.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until a friend pointed that out the other day. Like, I was talking about doing this podcast, and they were like, "Hey, Napster, you download things legally." And I was like, oh, wow, I never made that connection. That is super ironic. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a super about face on their part.
It's almost like, if you think about it, they're paying amends, maybe, because technically, like, Napster is losing, like, millions of dollars for actually, like, paying their musicians and recording companies somewhat better. Yeah.
Yeah, profitability is also really interesting. So Napster's losing money. We know, is Tidal losing money?
Not that I know of. I know it's, like, outlets have described it as, you know, beleaguered, because people aren't flocking to it as much as they thought it would. But that, I don't think it's losing as much money. I think Napster is apparently losing around, like, $7 per user, which is an insane amount of money.
That is a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, but, like, losing money in this industry is, correct me if I'm wrong, is it not kind of par for the course?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. So then, who, does anyone make profit? I guess Apple or Spotify might?
I think the biggest winners would probably be, like, you know, the streaming companies, but also the recording companies in a sense. Like, when musicians get paid, they're still getting paid, you know, like, a fraction of, like, what recording companies are making.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then in terms of, like, the actual profitability of these companies, I guess, I'm not sure. Are they all losing money? Let's see. I forgot Deezer even existed. Deezer's in this article.
I did not know that. Oh. I, like, guess my eye skipped over them because they just didn't even register.
I mean, like, I can't imagine it being a great service, but I haven't checked it out, so I'm not going to talk shit. let's just... Okay, so what is... I'll let you read off the order in terms of who pays best, pays out best.
Yeah, so Napster is at the top of the list. So... to, like, make minimum wage, a song would need to be played, like, 77,000 times.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Tidal is the next highest paying streaming service, and they need to, and you need to, like, play a song 100,000 more times in order to get paid the same amount. So that's, like, a huge difference.
In addition to the 77,000.
Yeah, so $177,000 or plays. In order to make the minimum wage. Apple Music is next, which honestly kind of surprised me because, you know, they're so, like, because Apple is so proprietary, I never, like, know it'll be at that level. But I guess if you consider, like, the controversy with Taylor Swift a couple years ago, it makes a little bit more sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Google Play Music is next.
Just for background, background on that controversy with Taylor Swift. So you're talking about the Spotify thing, right?
Mm-hmm. So this was years ago when, you know, Taylor Swift decided she did not want to be on Spotify because Spotify was not paying artists as well as they could have. So her music was not on Spotify for, like, years. And she...
It's a whole thing. Like, people were like, I want 1984 on Spotify.
Mm-hmm. But she was like, no, pay me better, which is, like, fair.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I don't remember the details of, like, the Apple Music thing, but Taylor Swift wrote an open letter saying Apple Music also wasn't paying as much, but then Apple Music actually changed its policies, which Taylor Swift later praised. So that could be, like, one of the reasons Apple Music is in, like, the top three of pre-stream rates. Below that is Google Play Music, which is surprising because YouTube Music has the lowest pre-stream rate. So I don't know what's going on there. Like, why is it so different?
I mean, like, Google's strategies with their products, period, is a fucking shit show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I use Google Play Music for years, and I mean, like, as a designer, we can get into, like, UI and stuff in a bit, but as a designer, the UI kind of made my eyes bleed. and then they, much like a lot of their other products, are like, hey, we're gonna stop actively developing this product, and we're gonna start developing this new one that you didn't ask for that you don't want.
Yeah.
YouTube Music is very much that. Like, people are, like, it's very up in the air as to what the fuck YouTube Music is.
Mm-hmm. It's also
very much
in the air whether YouTube Music will replace Google Play Music, especially because they haven't been developing it as much.
Yeah, and it's just, oh, God, the UI is so bad. I'll complain about that later. But it's so weird. And then also, can talk about it later, but the YouTube Music app is like, it feels like they're trying to make it Spotify, but it's way less populated and way less, I don't know, good. Anyway, okay, so from the top, we had Napster, Tidal, Apple, Google Play Music, and then what Deezer. Was after that? Right, okay, so yeah. Deezer, which is a thing that still exists. I remember hearing about Deezer in passing. Apparently people use it. But they're above Spotify.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. It's crazy that Spotify is so low on the list.
Mm-hmm. Spotify has an interesting history regarding how it pays or doesn't pay or doesn't even credit recording companies or songwriters or producers. A fun fact about Spotify, it wasn't until last summer, I believe, that Spotify actually started crediting songwriters and producers and recording companies within the UI, which I think I didn't notice it was missing because I'm not a music person, but it did make a big change in how I like knew what was going on behind the scenes, which was really interesting.
I mean, that's super cool. I mean, do other streaming services offer that information anywhere?
You would have to search for it. So Spotify made it, like, I think, obvious or made it very accessible. I think Google Play Music does. I could be wrong. I haven't used Google Play Music in a long time.
Yes.
Yeah. Napster and Tidal might, but, and we'll get into this later, but their UI confused me. So if they did, it takes a lot more buttons than it does Spotify.
Right, right. Yeah. But yeah, so Spotify towards the bottom of the list. Was Spotify higher on the list previously? I feel like when Spotify got big when we were younger, like back in like, you know, 2010, whenever the fuck it was that they partnered with Facebook and it was this whole thing. I feel like back then they might have paid better, but maybe that's just rose-tinted glasses on my part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just surprised to see them this low and kind of makes me feel shitty for using the service.
Possibly. It's a complicated situation, I guess. Like, spoilers now, I do use Spotify Premium now. But there are possible changes that could make us feel less bad, maybe, in the future. Yeah.
Like, in the works, you mean?
Sort of, not on Spotify's end, but policy-wise, music groups, songwriters, producers, musicians, etc., have been trying for years to change music streaming laws, which would hold Spotify more accountable to actually pay people better. And not just Spotify, like any music streaming service.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
But then after Spotify, you have Amazon, you have Pandora. I know people that still use Pandora. I know everyone's like, nobody uses Pandora. Nobody uses Amazon's music service.
I know one person who does.
Really? Like, actively?
Yes. No, like, I guess to, like, give context on how this started, during our Twitter conversation, someone I know actively recommended Amazon Music to me.
What were their points in... Like recommending it?
I think a big point for any Amazon service is, like, if you're in the Amazon ecosystem, then it's, like, you know, it's just part of your environment. Like, if you have Amazon devices, Echo, Alexa, etc., then it's probably just, like, ingrained, or you just get there. It's pretty easily, accessibly cross-platform compared to, like, Napster, but it's still a weird choice, you know?
Right. That's bizarre to me. So we have Pandora, and then, so YouTube Music, or YouTube, I guess, in general, they don't really, like, break out YouTube Music from YouTube in this particular article.
Mm-hmm.
But YouTube's at the bottom, which is, like, super unsurprising.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, how shitty they are to their, you know, their creators in general.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that PewDiePie is the most popular person on the platform. Anyway.
Is it drinking time?
What?
Is it drinking time? Was it?
It is drinking time.
Yay!
Miss Mendoza, if you would mind counting down for me.
3, 2, 1.
Salud.
Yay. I was drinking before that, which is why my voice wavered.
That's fine. I neglected... Ooh, there's mine. I neglected to mention or do the intro properly. One, I didn't take the shot. Two, I didn't introduce what we were drinking. So let me do that now. I am drinking Cimarron, which is relatively new in terms of, like, at least seeing it in Chicago.
Okay.
It is pretty fucking good, and it's only like 20-something bucks a bottle.
Damn.
I'm running out of the Reposado, and I went out and I got the Blanco. And the Reposado, I haven't opened the Blanco yet, so I can't comment, but the Reposado is like fucking solid. It is good. I can tell that I'm not drinking shit quality stuff that's going to make me feel like shit later. So I can speak to the quality of this. Good bang for buck. What are you drinking?
Well, I am much less thoughtful in what I've decided to drink. I'm drinking leftover brunch champagne, and the brand is unknown because, again, it's just leftover brunch champagne that I put in a mason jar and sealed.
Nice.
Surprisingly still sparkling, so
that's always good.
Yeah.
So mystery champagne is doing well?
It is. It doesn't feel, or it doesn't taste like expensive mystery champagne, but, you know, for brunch, you don't go too overboard.
Are you going for brunch full mimosas? Mimosa, or are you just doing the champagne?
Just doing the champagne.
Okay, there you go. Stepping it up. Stepping the game up. Yeah, that's right. You don't fuck around on tequila. You went full champagne, man. Yeah, okay, so talking about, so the order we got, just so everyone knows, I'll read it out. And then, Casey, if I say anything wrong, just throw words in there. Interrupt me. So we got Napster, Tidal, Apple, Google Play Music, and then was it Deezer after Google Play Music?
Yeah, surprisingly. Deezer,
Spotify, Amazon, and then Pandora, YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the order. It's crazy when I was looking at, like, the actual amounts. If you look at Napster, it's like, you know, like a penny and a half-ish, you know, 0.01682. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how granular the shit gets.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking wild how, like, far past the penny point they go. And then, you know, like, and then it says here that Tidal is, you know, 1 cent, 1.28 cents. It's just crazy that it gets like a cent and a fraction, but then some of these folks are like just a fraction of a cent. Like after Apple Music, basically, it's a fraction of a cent, whereas Napster and Tidal pay effectively twice of what Apple Music pays. Napster a little more than twice. Yeah, it's crazy to look at this and be like, wow, it's not even – from Apple Music on, it's not even a cent per stream
that they're playing,
crazy.
One thing you really have to keep in mind is that when that – pay is divvied out to record companies, then they're divided again amongst recording companies, the songwriters. I think this, if you're interested, I did a story on this like a year ago, but there was this sound clip from this songwriter testifying to Congress. And the songwriter it's the dude that wrote that Carrie Underwood song. That one that one. He wrote that song, which is, you know,
I'm from
like
Texas. I got it.
Yeah, one of the like top country pop songs of all time.
Of like ever. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's this like sound clip of him saying, "While streaming has certainly increased the reach of our music, our work is now valued less. We're talking fractions of penny on the dollar due to outdated government regulations." I have that sound clip if you want to use it, because I think it's fascinating.
Plug where that article is. Like, what's the, you know, the headline off the top of your head, what people can search?
Yeah, so it is on Newsy, and the headline is "Lawmakers Are Trying to Modernize Music Licensing Laws." I wrote this last spring, so it's been a year, but it's still incredibly relevant. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably still accurate. I imagine nothing's changed dramatically.
Mm-hmm. No. Still very much like a policy struggle between streaming companies and musicians.
Sure, sure. And the musician, like the profitability of music is not streaming, right? It tends to be, from what I understand, again, correct me if I'm wrong, playing concerts, playing shows.
Mm-hmm. Touring, possibly buying albums, but even then that is tricky because reach is important.
Right. Well, and like what the, I think, the album thing, like the market for buying, whether it's a digital, I mean, like maybe iTunes, I would imagine the digital iTunes market for buying an album is bigger than like people buying CDs or vinyl, or I don't know why people are buying tapes now, but tapes, right? Like those sales can't be that big for physical copies of the album, at least.
Definitely. And like, again, it completely depends on like who the artist is and how big that artist is. So like a credit to Spotify is that it is like expanding the reach or like popularizing smaller indie artists and allowing them to get heard. Sure. But whether or not they like that translates into more album sales is unclear.
Right. Unless you're like Beyonce putting out Lemonade.
Yeah.
And then you're going to sell, a fuck ton.
Beyonce's going to be fine.
Right. Like she's good. She good. She's perfectly fine. it's just really interesting how it's changing the industry. Also, the increasing number of people who will, if not like start on their own label, be like in a indie, in like small label, which is interesting. I don't know much. Like, I don't know if those labels are like, some of them might be owned by like shell companies. It might just be a front, but, I don't know. For instance, I was looking, I'm obsessed with Billie Eilish's new album. And I swear that they did it independently, although maybe I'm wrong on that.
I think so. I don't listen to Billie Eilish extensively, but sure. She like started off, I read a headline somewhere where she was like, where she went, basically went viral almost. Like she took a very non-traditional route.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, Interscope Records is her record label. I don't know.
Oh, okay. That one's one of the bigger ones.
Oh, is it? Yes. Yep, never mind. I clicked on it. It was J. Cole and Gwen Stefani. Never mind. Tell me to go shut up.
Did you know that she was 17? I just learned that.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes, she's 17. It's fucking wild.
Damn.
I mean, you can tell in the, like, the interlude songs where she's talking. She's like, oh, you're a child. Mm-hmm. Your music's really good, but I don't know if I'd want to, like, hang out with you. Like, in a friend setting, I don't know. that album's, I'm obsessed with that album. I know that Rosalía's latest album, El Mal Querer, I don't know the label situation with that one, but I could have swore that that one was like a semi-independent project as well, at least. Nope. Fuck, I'm so wrong. Columbia Records. Damn.
That's cool.
I guess you just can't escape it.
No, and like, with indie records too, there's always chances are if it's big enough, its parent company is like Sony.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's very like late stage capitalism kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sony just owns everything.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so talking about these apps though, so we had that conversation. I jumped into Napster and like I want, because of this information, I want to like Napster like so bad. So I get into it and like I just can't with the UI.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about the UI? I think you said you had problems with it as well.
I thought so at first. I had just transitioned from Tidal to Napster, so it wasn't as jarring to me because I think Tidal's UI is also a little bit clunky compared to the other ones. Not the worst.
Sure. Web. They like try to put like. Like, what would be a design for, like, a full website, like, on a small page? It's like, I don't know, it just feels weird.
Mm-hmm. So Napster didn't feel too jarring, but definitely compared to, like, Spotify, it's very clunky. It takes a lot more clicks to get to pages you would most likely use.
Right.
Yeah. And their, like, mobile app was, like, weirdly sparse for me. Yeah. Like it
you
just
mean like
didn't
in content, right?
Yeah, like it didn't include everything I needed to know what I was listening to, or to be able to get to my playlist as quickly as I could on like Spotify or even Tidal.
Mm. Right. And like the talking about the UI, like when you play a song, they don't have the God, what's the little minute marker guy called? I forget.
Little
time thing.
Mm-hmm.
The whatever that you can pull around, they put it like just under the album art.
Yeah,
which is like really fucking annoying to pull around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge fan of that. they do have the like swipe down to close thing. Mm-hmm. Which I like. I like that a lot. But that's like standard in the other, you know, big boys. The big apps. I don't know. It looks a little weird to me in general, the way they're trying to adapt certain designs to the small screen. I don't have any like huge complaints. So is Tidal worse than this? I haven't even looked at Tidal once.
No, Tidal is better. Oh my God, it's been so long since I used Tidal extensively. And even then, I mostly used it on a browser. But Tidal was also fine. Compared to Spotify, it also took a lot more button clicks to like get to certain songs or certain artist information. But it was fine.
It's fine. Yeah. It's okay.
It's usable.
I mean, everyone knows that it's meant for like audiophiles. Yeah. And folks who want like fucking like FLAC level shit, like mm-hmm. studio. I think they're allowing streaming of studio level quality now. From what I understand, someone was telling me about this, which I give no fucks about studio quality.
No, you audio. Also have to pay so much more money. That's like a super premium plan compared to its like. I think its base plan is
the studio quality. You mean?
Yeah, because its base plan is somewhere between $10 and $15.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the problem with Napster for me, at least, is like I like to, and this applies to Apple Music for me as well. I like to listen on multiple devices, like at work, on my phone, on my home computer, wherever I can, and Spotify for me kind of fills that niche because of the desktop dedicated desktop app. And I was looking around for a Napster one and I could not find one.
No.
Got to use the web app, and the web app won't work with, you know, media keys on the keyboard.
No.
It's kind of integral for me. I like that a lot.
Yeah. I use
the web app if you have to, I guess.
Yeah. I have some Alexa enabled devices and there is no Napster capability for any of them except Chromecast.
But then, even then, like, you can only Chromecast it from your phone. You can't be like, hey, so-and-so, you know, Chromecast, blah, blah, blah. Which is highly unfortunate. But, like, all these, like, little marks against it, I think, like, could be, oh, jeez. That was very sad. It's ridiculous how quickly 10 minutes goes by.
Shall I count you down again?
I can do it this time. Let me pour. I've yet to pour. There we go. At the tail end of this triple saw. Oh, buddy. Yay. Okay. This is actually really good tequila. I'm just complaining because it's fun. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Salud. It's actually really smooth. Ooh, yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, might take me a minute to talk again. I'm trying to find the Tidal pricing. I think it was like $20 to $25 for the from what I remember for the studio quality though. Something like that, which is like a lot of fucking money.
And you need to have, you know, like very good sound equipment in order to play it at that level.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is for, like, rich people. Or you take your, like, you use all the money you have on sound equipment. Yeah, because that shit is crazy expensive. I haven't looked at Tidal. I can't comment on the library or, you know, how the platform, how it looks on different platforms, like the UI or anything, just because it's not for me as a product. The UI I trialed Apple Music briefly a while ago, and I find it to be beautiful, yet, like, the navigation is kind of hard to get through compared to Spotify or Google Play Music. For some reason, Spotify and Google Play Music, the information architecture of, like, the menu systems and stuff makes a lot more sense to me personally. This is a subjective thing, but asking around, people seem to agree with me when I was just either showing them directly or explaining it to them. Let me see if I can pull up the Apple Music app right now just to try to remember what exactly about it was so damn confusing, but it's like they, yeah, here it is. So it's kind of, they do the same thing that happens on trying to use Apple Music on desktop to a less confusing degree. So like on desktop, my one pet peeve with Apple Music, like the biggest one, is that they took Apple Music as a whole, its own fucking whole ass service, and then just nested it into iTunes in this like super awkward way. So it's like a service within a service kind of thing. It's really fucking weird. I'm not a huge fan. And there, I mean, like, I get why from a like design standpoint, they're trying to separate like what is your music library that you buy in iTunes from the streaming service. Totally makes sense. While having, you know, both available at the same time from the same window. But I think the same time for the same window thing is like really fucking confusing and probably not the best execution. Maybe doing them separately would have been a good idea with some form of integration where like, here's your iTunes library in Apple Music. But it is a separate window and a separate app. God, yeah, I could go on all day about that alone. It's so frustrating to me. Yeah. So, oh, the other lovely thing is when you plug in your, you know how when you plug in, this doesn't happen often on Androids, I think, on Android phones, at least when I had my Pixel, it didn't happen often, but whenever I plug in my iPhone to, you know, like a media outlet with the lightning cord, like in a car specifically, it'll start playing like the first thing on your iTunes library, and it turns out to be like something you haven't listened to in years. So every time I plug in my iPhone to, some media shit, like Dane Cook's album comes on, and I'm like, I don't want to listen to Dane Cook right now. This is the last thing I want to listen to. His comedy's not aged well. it's just so weird, the app itself. Go on.
Yeah, I haven't had an Apple device in a long time. I did use Apple Music like a couple years ago when it first came out. But I always, something about iTunes and Apple Music also made it more difficult than the other apps to get rid of music you don't want. Is that still the case? Like,
yes, I mean, it feels very, I don't know if hoarding is the right word, but it's like, it just gets out of hand, like really fucking fast. And it's just like this huge, I mean, some people love that. Again, like the people who are like, you know, like one of my friends, coworkers, like he has a huge library of music and he likes having it in iTunes to access and go through. But like, if you're just a casual music listener, having like all this shit from a long time ago, like as much as I would love to relive my emo days, I don't want to always listen to Taken Back Sunday and have like a huge catalog of their work or like The Used or whatever. And it's just, you know, mostly stuff from like back when like iTunes was big. A lot of people have, because they switched to streaming services and stopped buying things. It's really weird. It's a really weird experience to go into iTunes to use Apple Music. But again, so like the Apple Music menu system is a little funky, but it's a beautiful app. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that's all I have to say about it, maybe.
Yeah,
I might
mean,
rant about it more later.
Definitely more mobile-oriented than anything else.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't fucked with Amazon Music at all. I think Amazon Music might be a second to Apple in terms of like mobile oriented, because from what I understand, the Amazon Music URL is kind of like a, you have to navigate within like the Amazon like desktop, you know, like where you would buy shit page.
Yeah.
To get there, from what I understand, which is kind of weird. That's how it is for video, and it's kind of odd. To like live in that same ecosystem, it just feels weird. Yeah. It's like, am I trying to like watch Vikings or am I trying to buy shit right now?
I have a couple years ago, I bought on a whim, you know, the Amazon Fire tablet, the one that's like $30.
Sure. Was it the smart, the like color touchscreen?
Yeah, where it's just like
tablet,
a bad tablet, but it's $30, so you get what you pay for, and it's like very in line with that UI, so it like, it fits in perfectly, but, like, compared to everyone else, it's, like, the most simplified system. Like, you don't get any additional information, really. Yeah.
I mean, they're taking the, for those tablets, too, they're taking the Android open source project, you know, like, the Android version that they put out for everyone to use, like, Samsung and all them, and like gimping the fuck out of it. Like, it's just like making it super, super, super not useful compared to like the full version of Android, which is legal. It's just kind of shitty, which is always fun. Yeah, so Google Play Music I used for years just because it was the sweet spot of, and this was like a lot of my music friends, like music nerd friends, same shit, because, you know, Apple Music didn't exist at the time and they had a huge iTunes library, and what you could do with Google Play Music was they had this little program, I guess you'd call it, or I don't know, it was a little thing you'd download, and what it would do is it would take inventory of all the music on your computer and upload it to the cloud, upload it to Google servers, and then in Google Play Music you have access to your library, which aside from Apple Music, I think Google Play Music is probably the best one that handles like your personal library for people who have you know, an extensive library that they want to listen to. Or, you know, back when I started using Google Play Music, I was just downloading illegally because I'm a jerk. But I thought that was really cool. The one thing about Google Play Music is that it's just like so fucking ugly. It's so bad in terms of the design. The information architecture, like navigating through it is really good. I dare say it's one of the better ones, in my opinion. But, God, the UI, it's just like the icon is this ugly orange, and when you click around, like instead of, you know, instead of like zooming out as it were to show you the entire album art, it zooms in to crop it to the phone screen, and it's terrible, and I hate it so much. There's these big orange buttons. I'm not a fan.
I remember, but I am a fan of my library. Yeah.
Here I got Watch the Throne. Anyway, going through the app right now. But, yeah. And then Spotify. You know, I'm just completely monopolizing this conversation. You can also talk about what you feel about these, by the way.
Of course. I have a Pixel, so, you know, Google Music is, like, in it already.
The first Pixel or the second?
The second one.
The second.
Yes. Okay. And I think one of the things I also hate about its design is that it looks like the same way Gmail would look.
Sure.
Which I don't want my music streaming service to look like. I don't want to look like I'm opening up an email, which I think is hilarious now that I'm looking at it now. But yeah, it feels the least like a music streaming service, but that could be useful or good for some people.
Yeah.
Or most people, I don't know, would care.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's, they have like an I'm feeling lucky radio algorithm that like depending on like what you, you know, thumbs up or whatever, or heart or whatever it is, I think it's thumbs up, it'll, you know, like use their algorithm to be like, you might like this. It's kind of like their version of a Discover Weekly kind of thing, mm-hmm. which I found to be somewhat good.
Okay.
I don't know if you've used it or your experience. I found it to be pretty good. And generally, they're like radio options to be more on point than Spotify or Apple's.
Cool. It's funny you say that. Apple's was my favorite music discovery service. Yeah.
I've heard that from a lot of people, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That seems to be the consensus.
Yeah, I don't know why. But I do know that.
Was it the curated? Because they do really well curated playlists.
Yeah, maybe. But, like, also, don't they also have, like, a similar radio-type, Pandora-type thing?
I think so. They also have what's really cool is the, what is it called, the Radio 1 or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I liked that a lot. I know some people aren't a huge fan of it, but I thought it was really cool, and all those little, like, live radio options were really fun. It felt like, I don't know, kind of like an XM radio kind of thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fun those to get that really integration. Fun.
But they definitely do have, I'm trying to find it. I swear they do have like an algorithm type thing as well. So you're saying theirs was good for you?
I think so. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Spotify.
But they also do really good like curated playlists though. Spotify, you know, has obviously a lot of curated playlists. I feel like theirs are super hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to use the curated playlist just for workout playlists, honestly.
A fun fact about Spotify. This is another story I did years ago. But for their, like, biggest playlist, they have, like, you know, the relax playlist or the generic workout playlist, they have, fake songs or songs that were generated. I don't even want to say like written or produced, but literally generated for the purpose of being on this playlist, which I think is...
That's crazy. So it was like, we have this playlist. We want you to write a song for it kind of thing?
Sort of. I'll have to find my story. Looking for that now. They don't feel like actual songs. They feel like more like ambient type background music. So they're like playlist filler almost. I found my story. Also on Newsy, the headline is that Spotify playlist you're listening to might feature fake artists. So, you know, calm vibes, music for concentration, and peaceful piano.
Sure, I've seen that one.
And they do it for like a pretty shady reason, like to lessen their reliance on royalty fees and music labels. So that goes back to like Spotify's history with record companies and paying for their music.
Sure. That's Soundboard. That is, hold on, Soundboard.
It's trash.
There we go. That's pretty shitty. That's fucking wild though that they're able to, so is it like computer generated type shit? Is that what we're talking about?
It's tricky to tell. Like, it was never, this was from 2017, so I don't know if they've changed it. They were definitely called out on it, even though spokespeople from the company did deny those claims. Who was it? It was originally reported by Music Business Worldwide, but it was very, when I wrote it, unclear how that music was being written. The way
shady music, we don't even fucking know if it's like, you know, generated, like computer generated, or if there's a person or what.
I listened to some songs and they definitely felt computer generated or just like, you know, generic, I guess.
It's like a neural net wrote this or something more basic even.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I gotta take the shot. You're just over there sipping, chilling.
Yeah, I've been sipping like throughout.
There you go. Would you mind counting me down?
Yes. 3, 2, 1.
Salud. Okay. Ooh. Oh, burn. Okay, starting timer. This is actually really good tequila. I sound like I'm in pain, but I'm enjoying this.
Just how you should enjoy tequila, honestly.
The tequila's great. Tequila's the best. If I'm going to take a shot of something, tequila's the best. I love my rums and whiskeys for like sipping.
Mm-hmm.
But man, there's nothing as smooth as a tequila shot. People are like, yeah, man, dude, like Jameson. I have fucking Jameson's disgusting. If you like a Jameson shot, you're wrong. This is better. Yeah, no, not shooting whiskey. I'm sipping on whiskey. I'm shooting tequila. Also, tequila cocktails are amazing. Okay. Anyway, so have we gotten everything off our chests that we're trying to say? Yeah, the only services that allow you to upload your library, again, that's not a big deal for a lot of people, but, you know, it was Apple and not Spotify. God, Spotify's so bad about that.
Yeah.
That's just like a joke. It's like literally a meme.
I feel like it used to be better when it first came out, but now there are just better ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you are not on Napster, right?
No, I stopped before the free trial ran out. And for me, the biggest issue was just like, it had the smallest music library. So like, for example, I was writing about Aretha Franklin a month ago, and they did not have Aretha Franklin's album Amazing Grace, which is one of her top selling albums of all time. So that's after that, I was like, this can't handle like what I need to use a music streaming service for. So that was, what is the phrase?
Upsetting.
Yeah, basically.
It's bad. That's wild. So I imagine that album was on, you know, like Apple and Google Play Music and whatnot.
Yeah, it was on every other music streaming service that I had been using or playing with at the time.
That's wild. I mean, I'd imagine that that would lead to even more profit losses when they can't necessarily afford it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that sucks, though. Like, when you want, obviously, you want to use the option that pays the most to, you know, to artists or, in this case, labels. But at least you're trying to downstream it to the artists. You're trying to do your best. Trickle down economics is fucking us all. Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to make that decision when the library is so limited. God, especially when, like, Spotify in general, and I think this is probably true of Apple Music as well, and to a lesser degree, from my experience at least, anecdotally, Google Play Music, but they're such good discovery tools, like you were saying earlier, that, like, people use that there's more discovery now through these than there was before. And that's a really big deal, but there's less, like, profitability for artists, which really sucks.
Yeah. I mean, like, what I tell people now is if they really want to support artists, streaming services won't do it directly. Like, even if you try using Napster, like, again, I use Spotify now, but if I discover an artist I really do like, I will pay for their music outside of it.
Sure. Like on iTunes or something, or what?
iTunes, Bandcamp, if they have a personal website, like, that's the best way to directly pay for their music. But it depends.
Right. Yeah, I imagine, yeah, obviously website would go directly to them. Yeah. Yeah. God, it's complicated to navigate around, especially with the industry being so, I don't know, that, like, everyone being gobbled up by labels. It's hard to navigate that, like, as a consumer. And you're trying to do, you know, you're trying to consume as ethically as possible, but it's really hard to a lot of the time. I don't know. Yeah. Spotify seems to still be the best service. I'm sticking with it for now. I've like occasionally dipped into the Napster app while I still have the trial. I don't know. It doesn't really, is this a Hispanicism? Do you say this in English? Can you say, it doesn't call my attention? Yes. Okay. That's a thing in English, right?
Oh, yes, I think so.
Okay.
Or at least I understand it.
No me llama la atención, and I was like, that's not a thing in English, I don't think. it doesn't call my attention at all. There's nothing about it that, like, screams out to me, like, whether it's, like, how cool it looks or, you know, how well it performs or, like, the library or, like, discovery. There's really nothing that I'm getting out of it other than the fact that it pays out more. Which sucks because I want to use it. How much does it cost? You know, is it the same as everyone else, like $10 a month?
I think so. I'll check that right now. I feel like a lot of this podcast is me like, I think so.
That's most of this podcast is us being like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Now I'm on a camera and a microphone. I'm not sure if I want to be recorded saying that though.
Oh yeah, it's $10 a month.
Yeah, it seems to be the standard.
Yeah.
That's the other thing is, like, with the competition, they're being kind of priced out as well. I imagine, well, this is something that they could consider, I guess, is, like, if they had the same library as a Spotify, as a, you know, Apple, as a Google Play Music, they could maybe charge, like, $5 more or something. And people, because it pays, you know, over twice than Apple does, that people could use it. And be willing to pay that, I mean.
I wonder what it's like on their end to try to negotiate those contracts with music companies. Like,
right.
Do they take that into account when they get music onto their platform? I know nothing about that, but if they did have the same music library, I would continue using it, but they don't.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yay. Happy things.
Yay.
Spotify does seem to be the standard. I mean, like, even, like, my musician friends, like, lean on Spotify. It's just kind of, like, status quo, I think, right now. Then you got YouTube Music. God, I could go on about Google's weird product lineup shit.
That one's, like, almost, 7 like,
messaging apps.
Oh my goodness. Almost like unnecessary to mention because I don't know anybody that uses it.
I mean, like for some reason I have not, so like I kept paying for Google Play Music and then because it like grandfathered in YouTube Premium mm-hmm. together with both, I don't know if it still does, maybe it still has both together. But I haven't canceled it, so I'm still paying the $10 a month for Google Play Music, and then I get like ad free YouTube and YouTube Premium, which okay. there's really no content on YouTube Premium that I've watched that I'm like, this is worth the money. but at least the ad free part is nice. But yeah, so I have access to YouTube Music, and I've like looked at it maybe 3 times, and again, nothing calls my attention that I'm like, this is fucking cool. It's just like the same shit as YouTube, but like partitioned into another app. Like mm-hmm. I am so confused. It's so well thought out. Sarcasm. not great.
Does it include video? This is a weird thing, but that was another thing Tidal tries to do, is that Tidal also features music videos alongside music. Does YouTube Music do the same thing?
YouTube Music, so here, let me open it up. The last time I dipped my toes into it, there it is. It would have like the option for the song or the music video. Mm-hmm. And there was like, you would click, here, let's see. Let me just click this and see what happens. Yeah, so I get the video. I click, you know, Finesse, Cardi B, and Bruno Mars. And so there's a little toggle on the top where you can toggle on and off the video and just do audio. Okay. And I think that's how they handle it. Yeah. So I toggle it. That's the audio. Toggle again. There's the video, little Chromecast option. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. It's just like, here's a bunch of music videos. You can toggle on or off the video, like if you're streaming. Okay. That would be preferable, I imagine, if you're on data. But like otherwise, it's just really bare bones. There's really not much in terms of, I mean, like it has whatever YouTube has, but then whatever they have to go in and like catalog as quote unquote official, you know, music by artists, not uploaded by some dude, you know, some person who decided to upload a song mm-hmm. That was not theirs. So I don't know. It's just really odd. It basically, they're like, this, you watch these things on YouTube, so we're going to throw it into YouTube Music. So it's like Tame Impala, like Cardi B and shit is just showing up that I've watched recently. But nothing like new artists that are cool. Yeah, just there's recommended music videos at Brockhampton. Yeah, so it's like, well, you listen to these artists, we're going to throw this in there. Yeah. I don't know, it's bizarre. It's weird. I don't know how to feel about it. It's super weird. They have some playlists here. Do these playlists have videos? This is great audio content. Oh, God. Oh, God, that is the fastest 10 minutes I've ever experienced in my life. Jesus.
I'm out of champagne now, so.
You're
drinking alone now. Sorry.
Yeah, so like they have some playlists that are like no music videos, and it's just like album art.
Okay.
It's weird. It's bizarre. It's not well thought out. It's not a uniform experience. It's really fucking weird, and it's super bare bones. The UI is trying to look like Spotify because it's a dark background. Mm-hmm. You know, you scroll sideways for some things, like Spotify has done in the past. Apple Music does that too. Yeah, I don't know. It is really not worth using, in my opinion, and I don't know what the fuck they're doing. That would be why no one uses it, because it's not worth using. Go figure. Okay, I'm going to take the shot alone, all by my lonesome. Sad day. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Tristeza. Anyway, okay. Ooh. The Reposado smoother. I just switched to the Blanco. It's a little more, it's a little more spiky, as people say.
Okay.
In terms of alcohol, it's a little more prickly on the tongue. Okay. So real quick, wanted to throw in a house ad. Those of y'all listening, if you like this episode, if you've liked previous episodes, really appreciate it if you headed over to the Patreon. It's patreon.com/techquilacast. Just $1 a month is all I ask. For the first 30 folks who do the $1 a month, I am going to give y'all a shot glass with the new logo that I'm working on that will be revealed soon. I'm super fucking pumped about that. After that, it will be, you know, a higher tier thing for the shot glass. So if you get in early, you get a shot glass. So do that. Again, that is patreon.com/techaquilacast. Okay, cool. Thanks. Next, I wanted to talk about just privacy in general, you know, in light of all the shit lately that's been going on with, I mean, it's been over the past year or so, but, you know, Facebook and Cambridge Analytica and obviously Google as well collects data on you. Just wanted to talk about that and what I have done in the recent past and what people can do if they're concerned. It's funny because I went through this and I still have a Google Home. So, like, I still have, like, Big Brother listening to me anyway. But I'm trying at least. So, yeah, the thing that, like, I don't want to use the word triggered, but the thing that, like, got me after, like, you know, I know all these things that collect data on you, and I know that, like, with Facebook and Google, you are the product, not the customer. You know, you were not the client. But what's funny is we were binging Adam Ruins Everything, and it was the Adam Ruins Everything episode on the internet, and the little skit or the bit on Facebook and Google and data on the internet that got me. And I was like, fuck. That was about a month ago, maybe a little more than a month ago. And I've done research into like what alternatives are and how to go about, you know, at least starting to wean myself off it. First and foremost, I know like, you know, both of them use your data for selling you ads, but I think we can all agree that Facebook's a little more malicious. Mm-hmm. The way it has gone about it, or at least like more negligent, it might be a fair thing to say, far more negligent in the way they use your data, with the whole Cambridge Analytica thing and, you know, like ruining democracy.
So nonchalantly.
Right, exactly. Just throwing that out there. So what I mean, like, first and foremost, I don't think anyone should have the app on your phone. Even if you have an iPhone, that app tracks as much as it possibly can about you on your phone. Don't have it on your phone. That's like step number one. Don't do that. I probably should have had the data off the top of my head. I don't even have it right now. But I know that like on Android specifically, so in a past episode, we had gone into the data that Facebook takes from your phone. You can download it from Facebook, and they had, when I was on Android, they had like some of my text messages, like who I was texting, not the content of the text messages, but who I was texting and when, which is fucking wild. And a lot of shit like that, just from having the Facebook app on your phone. I know that there were similar issues with the iPhone app as well. So I just uninstalled that shit.
Yay.
Do you have the Facebook app on your phone?
I no longer do either. I still keep the Messenger app just because that is how people reach me sometimes. But I know that I have an Android phone, and because you used to be, or you still can, but this was terrible. I used to have my Facebook Messenger app as my default text messaging app.
Oh, I had that for a little bit too.
Yeah. So you could which is probably why Facebook had that data. Then I got squeamish and turned that off and got rid of the app.
What's crazy is they, for me, had that data before I even, like, turned them on as an SMS app. Mm. Like, I went back and which is fucking weird.
Okay, that's weird, yeah.
Yeah. And then they had more data on when I had, obviously, as my, you know, SMS app.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, God, I get the appeal of making your SMS app because you have all your fucking communications, like, right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I've made the point in the past that, like, Facebook Messenger is kind of, like, the aim of our generation now, at least, because, like, everyone's on it, and it's just really easy to find everyone, and it's, like, too fucking convenient. the things that I have not been able to quit, you know, through the platform are the Messenger. I still have Messenger on my phone. I still use it on desktop. And events. Like, events are so important for, like, just whenever friends want to throw parties or whenever we're doing things together or whatever.
Yeah.
What I have done to keep myself at least going to, like, the main Facebook website on desktop or mobile is what you can do is in the events tab on the Facebook desktop portal, there is a way to, and just Google it if if you're looking into how to do it. But what you do is effectively you can export, and it'll be like a live feed effectively, but you export all your events, like all the things you're invited to and whatnot, in a link. And the link you import it to, whether you're using iCal or Google Calendar or whatever, you import that link, and all the events that you are invited to will show up automatically on your calendar. And then if you click it and open the link, you know, it'll take you to the event. You can say no, but it'll show up automatically in your calendar, so you don't have to, quote unquote, be on the Facebook, the Facebook like website to constantly like look at your events and stuff. On top of that, in conjunction with that, right now I'm using, like, Facebook came out with this event specific app. So I don't have the Facebook full app, but I have this event app. And I have, like, restricted all the fucking permissions I can on the app just so it doesn't have shit on me. And I just look at it to, like, say yes or no to events and stuff. It's literally all I use it for. And thankfully, the only notifications it shows you are the event-related ones. And so that's my way of still staying plugged into Facebook events, which are really important to me and to a lot of people, while not being on the platform itself. I've kind of, like, soft quit the rest of the platform, basically. Like, hey, people can message me on Messenger and people can do events with me, but otherwise I'm not on the platform.
I did not know you could export Facebook events. I will have to do that, because that's honestly, like, the only reason I ever check the browser app.
Right.
The hardest thing that I still can't quit is I have Facebook groups, like friends from college, and we tried to, like, use different apps. Like, we tried to use this one called Band, and there used to be an individual Facebook app for it, but that individual Facebook app is gone now. We didn't like Band just because it wasn't as pretty, so that is, like, another reason I still use the desktop app or browser.
Is it also, like, hard to navigate kind of thing? Like, not well laid out?
It was fine. It had too many bells and whistles that made it, like, complicated. Whereas, like, you know, Facebook is really good at being streamlined and showing you what you need to see in, like, a very streamlined space.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to navigate all that. What's interesting with the, I did the events thing a long time ago that, you know, auto-populates on my calendar, and that already, like, allowed me to kind of, like, disconnect from Facebook a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super great to look at your calendar and just have all the Facebook events there. And then, like, so I'll pull it up just to describe what it's like. But, I use Google Calendar still. And so I go to Google Calendar, and I see, like, one of the, quote-unquote, my calendar options on the side will be, Daniel Rivera's Facebook events. And so if I have that activated, it'll show me all the Facebook events in whatever color you want. And if you click on it, it'll show you the, in the description, it'll pull the Facebook description, it'll pull the location, it'll pull the time and date and all that stuff, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the bottom of the description, it has a link to the event itself, which is really nice. If you haven't blocked Facebook like I have on desktop, and you can click on it and, you know, say going, not going, obviously if you say not going, it'll, you know, within like an hour or so refresh your calendar and you won't have it on your calendar anymore, which is really nice. Because like a lot of the time you get invited to things you're not going to, so you have to go to Facebook, be like, I'm not going, and then eventually once it refreshes on your calendar, it'll finally, you know, get the fuck off your calendar. But overall, this has been a good way for me to stay off of Facebook while not, like, hard quitting. Like, friend of the podcast, Chad Michael Innes, he's, like, hard quit. And kudos. I can't.
Cause, I respect that, but yeah.
It's hard. I mean, like, it's also, like, my main communication tool with some of my family in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could email them, I guess, but, like, fuck that. I don't know.
Now that's like how, that's like my entire communication with my parents is via Facebook Messenger.
Sure.
Just because they're also on like their iPad or their smartphone more than anything else. So it's just convenient for, yeah.
It seems, and like that, again, to my point earlier, it's like the kind of like the aim effect. It's so, because like everyone's on it. it's like so useful for that reason. Mm-hmm. As awful as, you know, the platform can be with your data, it's just it's almost to the point of like a utility of sorts.
There was this crazy story from a couple of weeks ago, but similar to like Messenger, they're like light version. So Messenger Lite. It was found out that a couple weeks ago, passwords were being stored in plain text.
Of course.
I know, which is insane. And it hurts the people who like need the light version the most. So people which on like
that
cheaper, slower devices.
That don't know, sorry to interrupt. Those of you that don't know, the light version was kind of like marketed as, you know, it's light because it has less features, but it's also like a less large app. Mm-hmm. And is meant to be used in developing countries where data is really expensive. And so it uses as little data as possible to send messages. It's the whole point. And to download the app itself. So that's why it's the light version. But of course, because it's meant for developing countries, people don't care about their privacy.
No.
That's great. Cool. I'm glad I learned that today. I'm happy.
I'm so sorry.
So it makes me feel good about the world.
You'll be taking another shot of tequila soon, so.
Yeah, that'll make me feel better. It always does. It's just hard, man. Like, again, I can communicate with my family in Cuba through email, and if I have to, I will. Or some other app. They use this app called Imo, I-M-O.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the only people I've ever heard using it are Cuban people. I don't know why. I don't know why they're like, do you have email? I'm like, no one asks me this but Cuban people. And it's just this weird podunk app. It's not good. It's weird. I'm not a fan. So I'm like, bro, just message me on Facebook Messenger. I know you have it. I don't know. Facebook Messenger is the easiest way to keep up with them other than email. When you correspond with people via email, it feels like you're writing to people in ancient times because it's not a messenger. Like it's like the digital version of writing letters. It's just weird. But I'll do it with some folks who don't have Facebook Messenger, you know, some of my family in Cuba. Aside from the family in Cuba, there's a critical mass of people, period, on Facebook that makes it so fucking convenient. Oh, geez. Speaking of that, yeah, it's just the convenience factor. So, I mean, this whole segment, I was trying to have a conversation with you, Casey, and also just, like, talk about, like, weighing the convenience of certain parts of Facebook or Google and, like, what one can do to at least, like, start protecting their privacy like I have over the past month or so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pour the shot. Have you tried anything aside from that to like, reclaim your data?
Instead of like reclaiming my data or like trying other services, I guess like, cause I'm also like now apprehensive of any free sort of platform.
Of course.
Yeah. So my sort of response to this has been compartmentalizing and just like being more mindful of like what I put into this digital space. I don't know how to describe it.
Shot, by the way.
Yeah, not to be like the snobby, like, oh, I don't use Facebook Messenger, or like, I am very, I guess it's like the term mindfulness has like a sort of snobbish connotation to it.
It has like a meditation connotation.
Yeah, like I'm still using tech, and I'm still using these platforms, sure. But I'm compartmentalizing like what I feel safe having on these platforms and what
You're, to be crass, you're not like sending nudes on Facebook Messenger.
No.
Which would be exceedingly stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The crass version of what you're saying.
Yeah. But basically, like, I've almost like come to terms with this platform is most likely going to use my data or like sell it in some way. Here is like what I am fine putting on it.
Right.
So I'm like contributing less.
That is a very smart and nuanced way to go about it. And not only that, but like the most, when I say smart and nuanced, I mean smart and nuanced in a like realistic way. Because like telling people to not use these services, period, is just not realistic.
Like, no.
Good luck phasing Facebook or Google 100% out of your life. The way that they dominate the internet right now, that is fucking impossible.
Yeah.
I will get to that in a bit as we go down this list of things. And I'm trying to eliminate where I can reasonably, like within reason. And that's the whole point of this, like, you know, like quickly put together guide of what I've done in the recent past. Hopefully I have updates later on, but this is at least what I've done now. But yeah, it's like what you can do within reason. You can still stay on this platform. You can still use it, but like, obviously, like, don't send dick pics on Facebook Messenger, or like, don't try to like conspire against, at least not anymore, don't try to conspire against your tyrannical government. Because, you know, they might, I don't know, like, co-conspire with like Erdogan in Turkey or wherever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's complicated. But if you are, so if we're going to go like line by line, what you can replace, you know, Facebook or Google with, what you can replace Facebook with is nothing. Facebook is at this point like a powerhouse and, like, in my opinion, a borderline utility for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
At least in terms of like messaging and events and stuff. I wouldn't go as far as to say like legally categorize it as a utility, but like it is something that is highly functioning or like highly useful in people's lives and at least socially necessary.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I didn't mention, but I don't use this often, but I have coworkers that if they really do need like the most secure form of messaging, and I think this only applies to like very few people who need that level of security, but like apps like Telegram or Whisper do exist. But I don't think that's like by any means like accessible to like the mainstream.
Well, and that's the problem. Yeah, we can just get into messaging specifically now in terms of like replacement. But I do use, so Telegram and Whisper are like the two standards for like highly encrypted chat. And I like just to see who's on it, try to use Signal. So me and like a couple of friends, like literally two friends, use Signal just because we have it. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy how, like, despite these things being highly encrypted and probably like one of the better options, like just how important a critical mass of users is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I literally only have these two people that I message on it right now. I'm looking at the app right now, and like I also message them elsewhere. Like, so I only like occasionally will message them in here. Like I'll text them as well as messaging them in here, and like it's critical to have that critical mass. But yeah, again, if you're looking for an option to replace, you know, Facebook Messenger because you don't trust Facebook, unfortunately, WhatsApp used to be a good option, but it is now owned by Facebook. WhatsApp used to, so like the Signal encryption protocol was like the gold standard for like online encrypting. And WhatsApp implemented at least a portion of it such that all of the conversations were default encrypted. But since Facebook has taken over, it's kind of a little sketch, like what is happening. So, you know, I would not trust WhatsApp to be encrypted at all. So, yeah, unfortunately, as useful as WhatsApp is, again, talking about utility, WhatsApp is also really useful for people in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why people in Cuba don't use it. I guess it's not available. I haven't talked to them about it. They like that emo, though. it's really weird. It'll be hard. Like, my personal suggestion, if you're into encrypting your conversations, would be Signal. But good luck having that completely replace Facebook Messenger. If you're the type of person that will drag people onto the platform, then by all means, do that. But yeah, Signal and Telegram are like the standards at this point. Then talking about the other stuff. So I had this, there's this one website that I was kind of sourcing how to replace Google, which is like also really fucking hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's this site, Restore Privacy, that I was just looking at like alternatives to Google products. So what I have been able to phase out is, interestingly, Google Search. What I use now instead of Google Search, and I highly recommend this, is this website called Start Page. If you go to their website, they'll give you like a good breakdown of what they do. They literally – it's just startpage.com. They're based in the Netherlands. They literally just, as you search something, will pull Google's results. Their little thing – where is it? how we made search primitive, blah, blah, blah. They, and their little blurb here on their website is, you can't beat Google when it comes to online search. So we're paying them to use their search results in order to remove all trackers and logs. So basically, you get Google results without Google tracking you, which is fucking awesome.
That is, I love that. I'm going to start using that.
And it's for free. So this is like my default search engine now, like on my phone and on my computer. So I highly recommend Startpage. Super great. And then there are other options, but I don't really fuck with, like, you can use like DuckDuckGo, but DuckDuckGo, for those people who are like super, super, super into privacy, they will record search terms. And then like, if, I don't know, for some reason, like the American government is after you, they'll give their shit to the American government. Unlikely to happen in the near future, but you know, with the way things are going, maybe we never know. So there's that. And then for Gmail, obviously you can't phase out Gmail entirely, but Gmail is probably, if you're talking about privacy and Google looking at your information, Gmail is one of the biggest contenders, even more so than search, because they used to, they say they don't now, I don't trust them, but they say that they don't have their computers, you know, their bots, like, comb your emails for marketable information anymore. Mm. They used to, though, for years. And it's like one of the biggest treasure troves of user data is Gmail. And so obviously you need a Google account to have like an Android phone and shit. and I'm not going to like get rid of my Google account, but I'm trying to start transitioning to like a more privacy-based, obviously paid for solution. And the two that I recommend with that, actually, Casey, I should send you this article that I'm going through just so you can see everything I'm seeing. Yeah. I will link you in the chat. How do I expand this chat? That's how I expand this chat. Here we go. Linking. Send. Okay.
Unexpand. Oh, cool.
So, yeah, with Gmail, the one I'm using, they have it listed here. I'm using one that's based in Germany called Tuta Nota, which they have a free account that you can use, but I'm using the paid account just so I can use it with my URL. Like, I have a URL for my portfolio as a designer on my website, and I have a website associated with that URL, and I pay them, I think it's like 14 euros a year or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or sorry, a month. That is way different pricing. It's something like, here we go, 12 euros a month, which is, you know, whatever, it's 144 euros a year, about 160 bucks-ish a year, to be able to use it on your own custom website if you have one. The free version is probably good enough for most people. But they have, like, encryption options on the email, which is really cool. I don't use that because you have to, like, send a password to someone else. It's a little cumbersome, but if you need encryption, it's there, which is really cool.
Okay.
The iOS app is like meh, and then I don't think that there's an Android app. So aside from Tuta Nota, the one that I would recommend is, and it's really well known, is called Proton Mail. That one is made, by the people at, the CERN laboratory in, Switzerland, the particle collider, lab. In Switzerland, which is fucking wild.
Probably need privacy.
Probably what?
Oh, you know, probably need that level of privacy.
I mean, yeah, with that, like, level of technology, you don't want shit to, like, get hacked. Yeah, for sure. Proton Mail is one of the standards, for sure. Tuta Nota also looks good. Proton Mail has, I am like 90% sure they have both an iOS and Android app that are pretty good. And I think they have a free tier that works pretty well. I will double check that right now. Fuck it. Proton Mail. This app also seems to function a little better than the Tuta Nota app. Tuta Nota is a very new service, so the app is a little bare bones. It's functional enough to use, but it's not as, function dense as Gmail or, you know, some of the other options out there. But it's enough to write and receive emails, which is all I need.
I like how simple it looks. I'm looking at, like, the pages now.
Mm-hmm. For
Tutanota, but also ProtonMail. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're very like straightforward. Like, here's your email. You check it. You swipe to delete or archive or whatever, and that's it. Mm. What is the pricing for Proton? Where's your pricing? There it is. It is, yeah, they do have a free tier. Their free tier, you can store up to 500 megabytes. Their free tier for Tutanota is 1 gig. And then if you pay, then you have multiple addresses, like aliases that you can use. If you want to like compartmentalize like what you receive. Like, you can basically make up a fake email, receive some email from that fake email, and then like get rid of it, and you won't receive it anymore, kind of thing.
Oh, nice.
Which is pretty interesting. So those two are for sure the standard for email, which is really interesting. And then talking about replacing Chrome, was the easiest thing to do. Oh, wait, I need to take a shot. I forgot the timer went off. I'm going to take the shot. Okay.
Yes, in terms of at least for Chrome, which I do still use, especially for work, like,
sure.
Firefox is a really good alternative, or at least
what I'm using right now.
Yeah. Open sourced, yeah, and private.
I think, in fact, that was like a very, from what I remember, like, not very recent, but like relatively recent, you know, since Firefox's existence, at least, like a relatively recent, God, I always forget. I'm also semi-drunk. What's the difference between pathos and ethos? I forget. I think ethos is the word I'm looking for.
Ethos is like ethical. Pathos is like emotional. Yeah, oh, I took yes, high I'm school debate. Ethos.
Thank you. yeah, like they've changed. Like before, they were just like, we're a browser, use us, and now they're, you know, being like very privacy focused, which is really cool. I think in the past couple years, and Firefox has a lot of really good ad blocking and like cookie tracking blocking built into it, mm-hmm. which is super good. And it's the more usable option of the two that I would recommend. And it's the one I'm using now. My one complaint with it, and you as a Chrome user will understand this, if you're using Chrome on mobile or desktop or whatever, there is like, when you try to bookmark something, there is one directory, right, to bookmark. It's just your fucking bookmarks.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, in Firefox, there's like three directories. So I'll pull it up now. There is, let's see. There is a bookmarks toolbar. There's a bookmarks menu. I don't know what that means. And then there's other bookmarks and then mobile. The other, I guess, is just there for for miscellaneous stuff. And the mobile, obviously, for mobile things. But for some reason, they have a difference between toolbar and menu. It's beyond me why the difference is there. I just want bookmarks, man. Like, just give me some fucking bookmarks, fam. That's all I fucking want. But for some reason, there's a distinction. And what's really annoying about the mobile app is that when you go to bookmark something, it'll automatically go into the mobile bookmarks, and you can't move it in the mobile app. You have to go into the desktop app and move it.
Oh, that is annoying.
It's extremely annoying. For someone who's like super ADHD like me and constantly like reading up on shit and bookmarking shit,
mm-hmm.
it's like mad annoying. I'm not a fan. That is my one and only complaint. Otherwise, Firefox has worked great. It has all the same, like, you know, extensions or plugins as Chrome would. And I like it a lot. So the other suggestion, that I have based on reading up, that is not, is it in this article? It is in this article that I linked. It's the third one. The other one I would suggest, cause they have, the other one they suggest here is Tor. And I'm like, no regular person is going to use a Tor browser. Shut the fuck up. That is bullshit. But Brave is a really interesting one.
Okay.
The Brave browser started as mobile only. I don't know if they have a desktop version yet. I have it on my phone for now just to play with it. The Brave browser is, the icon is ugly as fuck as a designer, not a fan. But it was founded by one of the guys who founded Mozilla Firefox. Very like privacy oriented dude. And the team that he has is also very privacy-oriented, so really interesting. And, you know, like this one, just like in Firefox, you can, you know, set default search engines. So for both, I have Start Page as my search engine. And the mobile app's pretty good. I actually like it more than the Firefox mobile app. And nice. Honestly, say what you were going to say.
Oh, yeah, just saying nice. And I'm on their website now. They do have
a desktop.
Yeah, it looks pretty, or I don't know, their icon's like a lion. That's fun.
I like the idea of the lion, but I'm not a fan of how they did it. I'm just being a design nerd. I'm going to play with this. So here's the other option. I'm going to download it right now. Yay. Here we go. Now I have another browser. Brave, I've been like frequenting like the Reddit community and like other privacy pages, and Brave seems to be like a little more preferable in terms mm-hmm. of in terms of privacy. But Firefox is also a good option if you want like a mainstream option.
Yeah.
And I've been using Firefox, and I like it a lot. I don't miss Chrome aside from the bookmarks thing. The bookmarks thing is a pet peeve.
But I'm not a huge bookmarks person, so I don't feel that as much. But yeah, no, that would be annoying.
Yeah. If you're not a huge bookmark person, then like go for it, man. There's nothing to lose. Fuck it. Jump ship. The other thing that might annoy folks, but is good for your privacy, is that the default setting, obviously you can change it. The default setting, though, is such that, like, you know how when you log into services on Chrome, if you turn off and on your computer or completely close out of the browser and get back into it, you'll still be logged in. That is not the case with Firefox.
Okay.
You won't be, like, it doesn't save your stuff because every time you close the browser, it'll clean out all of your cookies. Like, the way you stay logged into those services, for those of you that don't know, is, like, Chrome will keep all the cookies, and the cookies are what not only, like, keeps you logged in services, but also tracks you throughout certain websites. Like, some cookies are benign, but some are, I wouldn't use the word malicious, but it'll track you. Malicious might be how I would describe some of them. So, I mean, a minor inconvenience, like when you restart your computer, you're logged out of, you know, everything that you're logged into. Not a big deal, though, in my opinion. I don't know. Some folks might find that really annoying. Everyone's different. I'm okay with it, especially because it's for privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm cool with that, especially because I couple it with LastPass, and, you know, it's really easy to log back into my shit with LastPass. Anyway. Yeah, so there's that. I really like the Firefox experience in general. I will try out Brave. I've downloaded it.
I also downloaded that one. Yeah, that one sounds fun.
It looks interesting. Yeah, might as well play with it if it's the preferred option. Oh, it looks more like Chrome, too. Woo, this Yay. Is fancy. I just opened it.
Apparently, Hello. It's faster, and I'm a fan of that.
I mean, of course. Of course. So, yeah, those are the browser options. And then, God, going down this list, there are so many things that I haven't tried because it's either a convenience thing or I don't use the products. Like, I don't use Google Drive right now. I'm mm-hmm. using Microsoft's, it's OneDrive, it's called. Their, I guess you call it, like, cloud storage. And the only reason I use Microsoft's is because back when I was applying for a lot of jobs, I needed Word to edit letters of recommendation. And so, you know, the OneDrive online was like 1 terabyte of online data for, you know, having the Microsoft Office suite or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $60 or whatever. That's the only reason I'm using that one right now. But here they have a couple options. But like God, looking at these options and from what I remember, they're not as good as Dropbox or Google Drive in terms of like cloud storage, unfortunately. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're the ones I'm looking through them again now. They're not great. They mention Dropbox not being the best in terms of privacy, but it's still better than Google.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately for now, you're stuck with, I like compared to these guys, I wouldn't recommend any of these because for the average person, they're really fucking hard to use.
No, even for again, I still use Google Things because all of my work things are connected to Google, but it's crazy how much Google Drive and Gmail are standard enterprise options major companies now.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally, totally. And for your business, you're not going to avoid, you're not the decision maker like me. Especially if you're listening to this podcast, self-deprecating joke. I don't know. Of all these options, maybe Nextcloud is one. There's an option here called Nextcloud. It might be somewhat user-friendly, but it won't. The problem is it won't integrate with a lot of services you're looking for. For instance, on iPad, the only cloud services of the iPad, at least currently in iOS 12, on the iPad Pro, especially the one that I'm using a lot, will accept is, the big boys, Microsoft, Google, Dropbox, iCloud, obviously, that's their service. That's it, from what I remember. So a lot of these won't be supported, unfortunately. So it's a little rough in this area. And then moving on to Google Calendar alternatives, I have not played with any of these. I know that there are really good ones because I have had conversations on Twitter with folks. Oh, jeez.
Ten minutes is such a short amount of time, and I didn't realize it until...
When I came up with this podcast, it was me and one of my best friends, who has hence bailed on hosting the podcast with me. But he's busy. I don't blame him. We were 10 minutes is a good midway point of being semi-coherent but also semi-fucked up. It's kind of the point. Okay, I'm going to take the shot and then we're going to keep talking. Okay. Oh. It's hard to talk through the burn.
I feel especially bad with Google Calendar because I'm almost at this point... My life is on that. So if I were to transition, it would be the biggest hassle.
I feel you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel you. That 100% I feel you. And also, honestly, from what I've read, over the past month or two in terms of privacy and where Google collects the data and where they kind of invade your privacy a lot is Gmail. That's the big one.
Yeah.
Because, it's there. You are, when it comes to these quote-unquote free online services, Facebook, Google, etc., you are the product, not the customer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Gmail is one of the – it is your fucking correspondences with people and such. Of course, it's a treasure trove of data.
Mm-hmm.
And they – I think it was a year ago-ish – that they got into trouble for certain bits of combing information. They were don't worry, humans don't look at it. We just have algorithms combing it. And it's that doesn't make me feel any better, dude. Thanks, man. And then now they say that they don't anymore, but now the problem is even if you accept at face value their statement, which I don't, but even if you do, the problem is, and this is a big problem, that a lot of folks have third-party plugins and apps on their Google account, and a lot of the time you're kind of signing away. Some of them are for Gmail and some of them are not, but even on the ones that aren't for Gmail, you're kind of signing away when you accept the terms, them reading all your shit, all your email content and Google effectively handing it over for marketing purposes.
Yay.
Yeah, which is dope. I love it. Hashtag sarcasm. So on this list, if there was one that today you were going to try to do, but there's a big three. The big three that I would suggest right now are search, that's trivially easy. You can use start page. The browser, again, trivially easy. You can migrate your bookmarks over to Firefox, or I assume you can to Brave. I haven't tried it. Don't quote me on that, but I assume you can. But you definitely can to Firefox. I've done it. So Firefox or Brave, easy to start using. And then email, obviously. Did I say email?
Yeah. Well, no, not yet. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Search, browser, email. Those three, the biggest ones, at least to begin your journey of privatizing your experience. I would suggest those. Yeah, I mean, Casey, have I convinced you on any of this now?
I am definitely going to start playing around with Brave. Again, I definitely use Firefox now.
You're already fine.
Yes. And then the search thing. What was the one? Was it Start Page?
Start Page. Yes. In Firefox and Brave, I haven't played with Brave on desktop, but I assume it's the same as mobile. In either of them, if you go into the settings, you can set what your default search engine is.
Perfect.
You can make it Start Page. And it's what's great is it's literally the Google results. That's the best part.
I just find that so hilarious. And I didn't know a company could actually do that. So just for also to be funny, I will definitely use that one.
Yeah, hell yeah. It's dope. I love it. I love it so much. I love that they pulled Google results. When I saw that, I was like, I'm using this. I don't really talk about the other options. Mm-hmm. I want Google results without Google getting my data. That's what I want, which is awesome. But those are the three I would recommend to folks, right? At least to start your journey on reclaiming your data. Obviously, I'm in the transition point because, my Gmail account is still the default for a lot of things. I'm still getting a lot of... not necessarily correspondence, but if you purchase things, newsletters and such, you still get there. But I am in the middle of transitioning to the Tutanota email, especially for personal correspondence, but just in general. Obviously, this is a thing that takes time to transition into. It's not going to be an overnight change. But it's good to, in my opinion, to try to start to make those changes and reclaim your data. I don't know. It's kind of a healthy thing to do in the digital realm. But then this article, there's a lot of things in this article that are really fucking hard to replace. I think the biggest one that's hard to replace is YouTube. And Google does a lot of tracking of what you watch on YouTube. It's just a fact. And I love YouTube content. I love YouTube content despite all the alt-right shit and awful shit that's on YouTube.
Despite how they treat their creators, but no, agreed, yeah.
Yes, also that. Also the way that they treat, yes, that is also a huge problem. The fact that PewDiePie is the biggest star on there and he's a piece of shit. it's the fact that there's a resurgent alt-right on YouTube and also they pay their content creators shit unless your name is PewDiePie. But the content is great, right? That's why we all frequent it so often.
It's the most accessible platform.
As a platform, it's fantastic. There's so much good content. I watch YouTube constantly, and people are like, in this article, they're like, "Oh, so YouTube alternatives? If you're looking for alternatives, it's like, no, there is no alternative. It's Vimeo. Sure, Vimeo can people can upload their videos there. Sure, but you cannot." Create a following in Vimeo as much as you can on YouTube. YouTube is unfortunately irreplaceable.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Facebook Messenger in that regard, where it has such a critical mass of users that's where content creators go.
Yeah.
To create their content.
I had this conversation with another YouTuber once, and our solution basically was to have some other very wealthy tech billionaire build one from scratch.
Of course.
Your
choice of philanthropy. That's your only other option.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. Not to get too heavy or too macro, but it kind of is a good commentary on the state of the world at this point where that's our only option. But yeah, so YouTube, it's really... If you're like us, where you consume content on there, which of course you are, if you listen to this, I imagine, you consume content that is unique to YouTube, there's no replacing YouTube, and Google will track you. I imagine if you're super duper into privacy, you can create a bunch of different accounts and switch between accounts and stuff, but that's a lot of work, and I'm not doing that. I'm just gonna keep watching on my one, Gmail account. Yeah, those are the main ones. Oh, also Google Maps is really hard to replace. There are, again, having a few conversations with folks on Twitter, the privacy community is very adamant. If you start tweeting about privacy, you will get 20 comments on your tweet, immediately. They're like, no, use this, no, use that, no, use this. And I love y'all. I appreciate all the outreach. One of the, for Google Maps, they gave me this option called, what is it, OSM and Maps? It's on this list here that I linked you, Cassie. Or Casey, sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sober. Yeah, so Casey, if you check out the Google Maps section, the top one is OSM and.
Just very easy to say.
Yeah. And the app, you don't have to download it. I have it. I'll talk about it. It is functional, but it looks very much like Google Maps 1.0.
Aww.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not great. And it's very, like, feature lacking, unfortunately. I've tried using it on and off. It's really hard to replace Google Maps, though.
That's a thing I didn't even think of, but probably a big one in regards to, you know, privacy.
Yeah, hell yeah. It's your fucking location. Of course. It sucks that it's such a great utility. God. And the other options here that they list, I would personally not recommend. Oh my god. Okay. This is the last one I'm doing. I'm calling. Especially since I'm alone.
I'm so sorry. I'm just staring at my empty bottle, just like,
you should be sorry. I'm joking. Oh god. Okay, yeah, this is the last one I'm taking. I'm like semi-lit at this point. I need to calm down. Okay, I'm just going to take the shot. There we go. Yeah. Woo! Okay, as I recover from this, Casey, what are your impressions thus far?
Of just maps or all of the privacy things?
Just whatever you have to say, man.
I don't know. I guess, like, another thing that we sort of touched on is that, like, when you have to, like, privatize or, like, go to all of these different platforms, you are spreading yourself out, and then, like, the infrastructure is no longer as unified, which is a big deal breaker for a lot of people, I think, especially people who, like, are in the Google ecosystem or in the Android ecosystem. It's, like, really hard to, like, separate everything, which is what you would need to do.
I mean, I was and still am, to a certain degree, a Google fanboy.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that. Yeah. Hardcore. I mean, like, and God, it's a two-sided coin, right? Of, you know, it's great to live in the same ecosystem because you get a lot of great features out of it. A lot of, you know, like Google Maps and Google Assistant, once it knows your commute, will be like, hey, you have to leave now to get to work on time kind of
thing.
Yeah.
Every day my phone is like, your commute will take 11 minutes. And I'm like, that's cool, but a little creepy.
Yeah, exactly. When I was still in college, I was in this advertising creative program. And Google Now, which was the precursor to Google Assistant, dropped when I was in that program. And me and one of my friends now, she's a friend of mine now, but we had just met and we were doing a like portfolio piece on Google Now and the Nexus 7, which is a really old tablet, Google tablet together. And the way that we decided to design it was just like this really creepy. I don't remember if it was before or after, but it was effectively Slender Man is what we did. And it was like this like being that would like point. We did like stop animation with the construction paper, and it'd be like, hey, you need this umbrella because it's going to rain. I'm reminding you.
I want you to know that, like, the figure that I imagined before you said Slender Man was the Duolingo owl.
Oh, that would be so cute.
As, like, also better. Creepy and, like, watching you. It's, like, a great meme right now.
Here's an umbrella. Yeah. I think that still holds true with Google Assistant, right? It was probably not great for our portfolio project, but we were having fun with it. And we were like, yeah, it's a little creepy, so let's touch on the creepiness, but also how useful it is at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this, like, slender, faceless being giving you things. I don't know. I think that's an apt analogy still.
It is. It's an app. It is a physical assistant. You mentioned you had a Google Home, yeah.
Oh my god, and then Google Home is a whole other thing. God damn it. It's a whole other thing. No, but again, like talking about the, like you're saying, the ecosystems, like it is very easy and convenient to live in either the Apple or Google ecosystem. And not only the problem with that is that, you know, Apple's business model is not selling your data, thankfully, but you're still buying into a duopoly effectively, a tech duopoly. I mean, like if you look at phones, like what other options are there other than Android phones or iOS phones? There are none. Microsoft phones are fucking dead in the water. No one uses those. It's crazy because, like, yes, we have all this convenience, right? But we're also trading off, like, a very competitive, fun, like, bottom-up market for a very top-down market.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And I think having stuff like this, like Brave, Firefox, etc., you know, Startpage, whatever, helps create a more, like...
competitive sort of...
As lefty as I am, like would love some government regulation here. Like I do to a certain degree believe in like consumer choice and stuff. And like if we were to use these more often, I think then the big players would be like, oh, that's what people want. Let's do that. And obviously it would lead to a better ecosystem for all of us.
Yeah. Wait, can I? Sorry, I just thought of this. But like for suggested apps.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. This is like super short, but like we didn't mention another thing. I mean, yes, we mentioned Google Drive, but like I know a lot of people that use Google Docs now as their like main text editing software. Like we're using it right now. I don't know if anyone's ever mentioned this on your show, but an app, because I stopped using Google Docs as my main text editor a year ago, and I've been using Notion. Or, like, Notion.so. It's, like... Notion.so. There's, like, a browser app, a desktop app, and mobile apps, which is fun. Ooh, and they also,
this
like...
looks fun.
Yeah, and they tout privacy. Like, they don't own our data or sell our data. It is paid. Shit. Yeah, I pay $5 a month for it. But, like, it has, like, spreadsheets and a calendar, sort of, and, like, a text editor that's, like, really nifty.
This is cool. I imagine it's also shareable, like, via link or some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Docs are?
Yeah, like, my entire workplace still, again, like, uses Google Drive, but I can share my documents with them. Not as, like, it's not as great for, like, editing. So, like, we don't get, like, the same comments interface as Google Docs. Sure. But it's still workable and just, like, beautiful.
I think I've used the comments interface maybe once in my life. So that's fine. This is cool. This isn't even on this list of things that this person suggests. So this is cool. I like this a lot.
I think it's like fairly new. And one of my worries with like apps like these is that they eventually get bought by a bigger company or they die. But like Notion is doing well. They're like still releasing release notes and updates, and I think that's a good sign. I don't know. I'm going to be very sad if they ever die, because they, like, my life is on it. Yeah.
This is a dope-ass suggestion. I'm super into this.
Yay.
This is cool. I'm looking at the pricing. So they have a free option. Mm-hmm. It says, I'm not going to read every detail, but you have, 1,000 blocks?
You, like... A block is, like, a line of text.
A block is any single piece of content you add to your page, like a to-do item, an image, a code block, an embedded file, etc.
Yeah. It took me a month to use up the free option. Gotcha. So it is, I don't think if someone uses it on a regular basis, it's a free app. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, under the personal option here, it's $4 a month, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that is like you know, for a working adult, that's fine. Like, that's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
It says one member only, unlimited block storage, so you can type as much as you fucking want. No file upload limits, so you can upload as much as you want. Advanced permissions, don't know what that means. Priority support, so they have a support team. Version history, so you have a version history of your documents. This is cool as fuck. Thank you for this suggestion. This is fucking awesome.
Of course.
This is really fucking cool.
I'm telling everyone about this.
I'm genuinely considering using this now.
Do it.
This is fucking awesome.
Yes, they do have like a calendar option if you're still looking, but it's like not a great calendar option.
Oh, really?
Like it's not as like robust. It's more for like,
that's Google.
Yeah, if you're like event planning and the event has like multiple dates, but it's fine.
This is cool as fuck though. For docs, this is dope. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna look into this and potentially switch this. This is fucking awesome. Thank you so much.
Of course.
That was a very good segue. Okay, so suggested apps. That was, again, Notion. Notion.so is the URL. Look that shit up. This is very cool.
Yay.
Mine is, so I am, for those of you that have been listening regularly, you know that I am an extremely ADHD human being. And, there is this strategy for managing your time focusing. Those of you who struggle with this like me would benefit from this, called a Pomodoro timer. Pomodoro is tomato in Italian. It comes from this person who developed it using a like kitchen timer that was in the shape of a tomato. And the idea is that you focus for you know, people say 20 or 25 minutes, and then you kind of chill, do whatever you want, like relax for 5. And it's this app that'll do this for you on desktop or mobile called Be Focused. It's free. The free tier does everything I need. If you were like me and need something to help you to focus, for those of us with ADHD, seeing a timer helps sit down and actually, like, it gives you enough anxiety to sit down and work on stuff, but not like overwhelming anxiety. And I highly recommend this because I've been using it for the past 3 weeks now and I love it. I use it at work. I use it at home. They have mobile apps. They have desktop apps. They have an app for Mac. I don't know about Windows. I assume for Windows. I'll double check that now. But yeah, the Pomodoro timer in general, if you don't want to use this app on Windows, if they don't have it, there are others. And the concept is actually a very effective one, in my opinion, where you sit down and focus for 20 or 25 minutes and then you relax for 5 minutes and do whatever you want. It's super effective and I love it. I highly suggest this. That is my rant on my suggested app. From what I can tell, it does not exist on Windows. I'm sorry, Windows people.
Darn. Yeah. I don't think there's an Android app either, but that's okay.
Shit. So it's Apple only. My bad.
That's okay. So like one of those things where you could also like sort of if you like wanted to program into a timer.
Sure.
Yeah.
I would also suggest just not just this app necessarily, but just the concept of Pomodoro timers. So if you just search, you know, if you're on Android or Windows, just search, you know, Pomodoro timer Windows, Pomodoro timer Android, and look through the list of the best ones. I find it extremely helpful for me to be productive while also not, like, driving my brain through exhaustion of hyper-focusing on a thing. I just highly suggest it in general, especially for those of us with ADHD. I think we're good.
Yay.
Madam Casey, thank you for being on.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Miss Mendoza, very much appreciated. I would like you to plug again where it is that you work, where it is that folks can find you so that they can find you.
Of course. I work for Newsy. We are a cable channel, but also we're on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, literally most places you could find video. Also YouTube, that includes YouTube and YouTube TV.
Whoa, that's dope.
Yeah. but yeah, we're on newsy.com, and if you want to find us on cable, just go to newsy.com/go.
And then she's Casey with a C-A-S-E-Y, and then Mendoza with a Z.
M-E-N-D-O-Z-A. Yep.
There you go. All right. Peace. Thank you for listening.
Of course.
Goodbye.
Bye. Repetitive sedatives, like, ever rebetter it, never remembering.
ever degenerate. Instead of forgetting and letting them litter the setting like sediment, I'm that part. Mix it up with six guy, rage against machine, bitter J-Rock, K-Dot. Switch it up, gangsta, getting on my stage props. Dilla with the beats and catch me singing like I'm.
As always, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Tequila.
Mama call me Eshwa, running out of time with a Harry Potter head scar. I ain't got a desk job.
For the regular listeners, I'd like to thank you for your support and ask that you please help us to continue to improve the show by heading over to our Patreon page and donating $1 a month.
Head farts, yeah, that's for all your gum smack, mud flaps, scuzz bag, unwrapped sex.
By donating just $1 a month, you'll really be helping us out, and you'll get Tequila closer to hitting our goal of $30 per month.
Yeah, this is how I rap before I hit it. Top shit, but I still respect women.
Once that goal is reached, I personally will be designing and sending each of you a tequila-branded shot glass or two to show my appreciation. So head over to patreon.com/tequila to support the show. That's Patreon, which is spelled patreon.com/tequila.
Like egregious kids are just in front and like your Jesus and elitist pimps come from Mars and bitches come from Venus. The way I see us is my strength is all your weakness. Treat them like a hedonist. Every obstacle defeated. Preach it, I'm a seed of weed.
Remember, you can submit topics for the show and interact with me and guests on the subreddit, which is found at reddit.com/r/tequila.
That's for all your Joe Rap smoke ploys. That's for all your go brag, no half, low grab. Oh,
you can follow Tequila on Twitter for the latest hot takes on tech news at TequilaCast.
Watch list, that did it. This is how I rap before I hit it. Talk shit, but I still respect women.
The Tequila theme song is Ride Out by Yeshua, which is spelled Y-S-H-W-A. You can also find him online as Vincent Augustus. Thanks, y'all.
Ride out. Pain, praise in my same.